It's time for the PowerMizzou.com podcast with interviews and analysis of your Missouri Tigers. Now, here's your host, Gabe DeArmond.
All right, welcome back to another week of the PowerMizzou.com podcast. We're going to get right to it. Our guest this week, former Missouri head football coach, current Mizzou ambassador and fundraiser, Gary Pinkle. And coach, does it sound as strange to hear that phrase, former head coach, as it still kind of does to say it?
Yeah, it is strange. You know, it was really strange for me because the day after our last game was over this year, I went and exchanged something at a store, and they needed my name when I got there. And I went up there and I told them my name. They asked me what I do, and I said, "Oh, I'm the head football." And I said, "Well, I'm not. I was yesterday. I'm not today." So that's been a little bit different, but you know, it's all good. I'm doing fine.
The new job obviously was announced, I think it was last week. Do you have a feel yet for exactly what that involves?
Well, I think I'm just on call with Mac Rose. Mac's doing a great job here, and we talked about fundraising, public relations, speaking engagements. When the new project is going to be built, that's probably going to get going here pretty soon next year. So, you know, I'd like to think I'd be a part of that too. So it's kind of something that, I will do anything. I love the University of Missouri, and we'll do certainly anything I can to help and hopefully have some significance.
You mentioned new project, and one of the questions that a lot of fans were hoping I would ask you is, are you referencing the South End Zone project there, and will you be kind of involved, do you think, with helping raise money for that?
Well, I will be involved, as much as, I'm directed to. I mean, from that standpoint, right. We really haven't talked about that. But there will be a new project. And I think after the recruiting's over and after these next couple months go by, I think, obviously I'll be involved a little bit more with that in terms of discussion with Mac. So, one thing we have to do for Barry is we have to, make sure that, we give him the resources, to continue to build the program and make it better. And that's something that's going to be real important.
You mentioned recruiting, National Signing Day, 6 days away. I would assume your week this year is a little more relaxing than it would have been in the past.
Well, it is. So it's a lot different. Actually, I'm going to be working at the SEC Network up in Charlotte Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. They asked me to come up. I've been doing a little bit of TV stuff and kind of preparing for that's been kind of fun. It's a little bit different, obviously. Keeps you involved. I was with them, and I worked the Cotton Bowl, and I worked the SEC Championship game. So I don't know where that's going to go. Obviously, anytime I'm on TV or do those kind of things, I'm marketing Mizzou just being there. And so that's, I certainly think that's positive for the university also. So National Signing Day, it's big for everybody. And, like I've always said, we always focus on the players we get and not the players that we didn't get.
You mentioned the SEC Network, and I watched some of the national title game, some of the coaches' room stuff you were doing in the SEC Championship game. How different is it, and is it kind of weird sitting on that side of it and watching like the overhead camera and kind of talking about decisions and what goes into the position that you had for so long?
Well, first of all, if you'd asked me, 25 years ago when I started being head coach, if I would ever do any announcing or anything like that, or being a part of any kind of TV or radio, I'd sit there and say, there's not, no way. There's a million years I would do that. Obviously being involved with the media and being a part of that for all those years, you get used to it a little bit. And honestly, I really enjoyed it. I really, as an analyst for the championship game and the Cotton Bowl, we did that other type of broadcast but it's really you want to do it the right way. You have to critique sometimes, but there's a right way to critique and there's a wrong way. But I really, really enjoyed it. And where it's going to go, I don't know. I've certainly talked to Mac about this already too, but again, if I'm on TV, I'm marketing University of Missouri, and it's very positive.
Well, just from a personal standpoint, the moment the guy who was a full case in called in to you and Paul Feinbaum during the SEC title game was one of my personal highlights watching television. So that was a little different. I know we have limited time with you, so I want to get back, just kind of a look back on take fans chronologically through some of the stuff over the last 15 years at Missouri. And you took this job and you've been pretty open. A lot of people said, hey, there's some reservations. I don't know about this program. Was this job at Missouri harder to get going than you thought it was going to be the day you took it?
The answer unquestionably is yes. I mean, I think, you know, you don't know what you know what you really got into before, you know, until you get here. You know, I really felt good about Mike Alden. You know, that's the one reason, Mick. And I told Mike at the time, there's going to be a time when I'm going to need you really bad. I mean, there's going to be a lot of, you know, tough times you go through and building a program, but there'll be a certain time when I'm going to really need you to hold on to me and help me get through this thing. And I think when that did happen, you know, after our fourth year, but, you know, coming in initially, I asked about the team and talent issue and things like that. And obviously there was a lot of, we had a lot of work to do. And I remember after our first one of our worst winter conditioning, and these players didn't understand our discipline and detail and all the things that we did. And we went to conditioning at 6 o'clock in the morning. This is 2 months after I'd been here, right after recruiting was over. And my whole staff went in the locker room, and they all had their elbows on their knees and their face and their hands. It was dead silence. And I went back and I went home and I just said, oh my gosh, I said, what did we get ourselves into? So, it's all about building a program. And the thing we did too, when we came here, we just didn't come in, you know, I was known as a good quarterback coach or offensive coordinator. And, you know, we score points and things like that. That wasn't what we came in. We have a football program that we came in and we plugged it in, and then just day by day try to get better each and every day as we built the program.
You mentioned Mike standing by you in that 2004-2005 kind of stretch. Things have changed with all the scrutiny. I think college football is so much bigger than it was even when you took this job. Have you ever thought about if that had happened 10 years later, if you'd started here in 2010 and that was like 2014, do you think you'd get that time?
I don't know. You know, there's so much money in the sport now. There's so much, you know, there's zero tolerance. You're right. I don't know. I just know that, you know, Mike, really stood up for me and in a very difficult time. We had losing season, winning season. They went back to another losing season. And that next year, which I think it was 2005, was, you know, a huge, huge year. I think you're going to see coaches' tenures a lot shorter than they've been in the past, and they haven't been particularly long anyway. But, you know, it's things have changed. There's a lot of money into it. People want to demand excellence quick. But I'm going to say this, too. There's nothing easy about building a football program and changing a culture, and especially a culture of one that you know, had two new winning seasons in 17 years. That made it remarkably more difficult.
You can correct me if you disagree with this. The games that I think most people look back as kind of the turning point is when Brad goes down against Iowa State and Chase leads you to a win in overtime, and then that Independence Bowl game. I mean, do you look back at those as that was kind of the day maybe that it turned the corner?
Yeah, I think so. I think the first game that I think gave our players a taste of, you know, what greatness could be like was in, I think it was 2003 when we beat Nebraska here. Uh-huh. And first time in 20 years. And even though we had a long way to go, our players actually got a taste and a feel for what it was like to win a national game. And, you know, I think that, you know, certainly, you know, we had a long way to go there, but I think that was important. Obviously, you know, the games you're talking about, you know, were also important. You know, Brad Smith was very significant to our team. You need a catalyst. Remember Coach James golfing with him. And right before that season started, 2005 season started, you know, I said, Coach, we're golfing. I'm walking around. You know, I said, Coach, we're doing everything right. And I went through all our program because, you know, which is his program, went through everything. And I said, I'm just really frustrated. And he didn't say anything. And then he said, about four holes down the way, he looked up at me and says, I've been thinking about what you've been saying, Gary. And let me tell you this, when you start getting more players drafted, you'll start winning more football games. And it was profound because, you know, you can have the greatest program in the world, but if you don't have athletes and they're developed and things like that, you're not going to win. Well, our catalyst, you know, good Lord gave me a guy named Brad Smith. Mm-hmm. And Brad certainly was, you know, something that, you know, we needed. You know, he played eight, nine years in the NFL. But a remarkable kid and remarkably important. And I do remember, you know, the season, you know, when Chase came in and we found out there we had another great player, great quarterback coming in after that. And it's interesting, you go back to that bowl game and we're down until Marcus King intercepted a pass at halftime in the Independence Bowl against South Carolina. And because we were playing very poorly to that point. And from that point on, we won that game. Our win-loss record from that point on has been significantly different than it was, you know, the first 4 years.
No question. We're talking with Gary Pinkel. And Gary, a lot of high points, and we'll touch on some more of them. But obviously not all the days are good. And I know you've talked about this some before, but looking back, how much did the death of Aaron O'Neill change you and your football program?
Well, it was, gosh, it was one of the most difficult things. I was out of town. I flew back into town the next, I flew overnight back in town the next day and went over to see his father in Los Angeles. Excuse me, I'm sorry, St. Louis. And I was in Los Angeles. And you know, it was really, it was so difficult. You know, obviously never had been through that before. And you go to his home with his father and everybody's crying. And it was just, you know, for me, it was, you know, it was just so sad, you know, and being a part of something like that. And, you know, I think Gary, you change. I don't think there's any question about it. You change and you go through something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a wonderful family, kids, grandkids, and everything else. So, you know, regardless of what people think, I'm a pretty loving person. But I think, you know, I think your relationships become a little more important. You know, I think there's just, you know, the closeness you want to get your players a little bit more. And so I think that kind of slowly changed from that point on a little bit and became a little bit more sensitive.
I know that you have always been hesitant to rank things or say this one was any better than the other one. But looking back, is there any question that that 2007 game in Arrowhead Stadium against Kansas will be probably one of the ones you really look back on it when you do kind of reflect on your career?
Yeah, there's no question about that game. That was a you know, phenomenal year. You know, it was like, you know, almost when I coached in three Rose Bowls and I was at Washington, when you drive down Pasadena to the Rose Bowl, you know, the buses, your fans are pounding the buses as you're driving slowly to get into the stadium. And that's the same thing that happened that day. And on their side too, and our side. And we'll go down, I knew going in that we go down to the biggest Kansas game we'll ever play. And it'll never happen again. I don't care. It just won't. The rankings that we both were at the time, and at the end of it, you know, obviously we were ranked number one in the nation after that game. Everybody stood the entire game. At least that's what people told me.
Right.
And freezing cold. The environment was, game day was there. But obviously that was a huge, huge win for our football program.
I looked back at that one as kind of the biggest game, but I think maybe the most memorable just single moment, like single play. Did you ever hear a stadium you were coaching in louder than when John McGaffey ran the kickoff back to start the OU game?
You know, I get so I've seen clippings of it. I've seen it. I'll go back and look at it. You know, I've seen that before a few, and I know you don't do that very often. Mm-hmm. But it was remarkable. I mean, the place was absolutely crazy. And, what a big game that was. That was a huge, another game, you know, it was another big game for our football program. And certainly, you know, playing a great team like that, but that was a great day, a great evening for Missouri Tiger fans.
And then again, just kind of taking it chronologically, moving into the SEC from your point of view, from your standpoint, what we all know what the speculation was for, like the better part of 2 years, where's Missouri going to be? And then you moved to the SEC. What was that whole process like? Did you even worry yourself about it, or did you have to?
Well, there was several times that, you know, that I, you know, we were hearing that, you know, Oklahoma was talking to, you know, the Pac 10 or 12, what it right. was at that particular time, I'm not sure. And, you know, and state legislators were saying some things, you know, there. And so I'm thinking, what's going to go on here? And then obviously, you know, when, you know, Nebraska pulls out and so you think back, one thing I think back to is that what a great league it was, you know, the Big 12. Yeah. When Nebraska and Colorado in there, we were in there, A&M was in there. you know, gosh, we were knocking on the door, you know, to the SEC as I think, you know, objectively was one of the best conferences in the country. And, you know, it's really interesting to see, you know, how that happened and, you know, and where that went. But I was certainly concerned, you know, and I didn't know, you know, if you could be sitting outside in, you know, we worked our butt off to this program. And you know, obviously, eventually the SEC went the way it did. I remember them asking me about the SEC. I remember talking to the chancellor and talking to a curator, I think, and some other people and asking my opinion. And my opinion was, I think it's great to do this, but you better invest. And, you know, you just don't get in it if you're not going to invest. And, you know, you've heard me say that before and be redundant, but it's so true. You know, you can't go in and have other people have, you know, much better and more resources than you do and compete and win championships. It's fiction. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Mizzou can be great. And I think that's one of the great lessons for that going into the SEC was that, you know, that we can, you know, we've done some great things in our stadium and we got to continue to do those things.
As just a guy who will turn his TV on Saturday now, would you like to see, whether it's Missouri-Kansas, whether it's Missouri-Nebraska, some of that ice fade in Missouri play some of those teams that you played for so long?
Well, I think any one of those games would be the right. If it fits for schedule-wise, I think that's, you know, scheduling is so important in our league. Well, you know, the Kansas game, I think, without question. And if I would do it, I'd play it the first game every year. And that's what I would try to get set up. And, you know, that would obviously be a Power 5 game for us, you know, and for them also. And, you know, and if you want to play it every year in Arrowhead, you know, I think that's fine too. I mean, it's a great, great venue, or a combination thereof. As far as other ones, it's just availability of other schools, whether you can play them or not. And, but the Kansas one, I think, you know, we got to kind of, you know, open the door back up here a little bit and, hey, you know, what can we do best for our universities? And I think there's no question about it. You know, regardless of the record of anybody, if you played in the beginning of the season, we'd be, you know, 1-0 or 0-1 or first game, you know, it will draw and it'll be very important because of the passion that our fans have for that game.
Just a few more minutes with Gary Pinkle and Gary, a little bit of distance from it. Been, I guess, a couple months since you held the press conference over in Mizzou Arena. Are you completely at peace with the fact you're done coaching and the fact that, you know, your career on the sideline ended there?
Yeah, I feel really good about it. I just signed a 5-year contract, 6-year contract last year. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I had, even when I got diagnosed with lymphoma, you know, it's a type that hopefully, prayerfully, I can manage. And by the way, I'm doing fine. Yeah. I always say this too. There's people out there with a lot worse cancers than me, but it did, you know, so I'm fine. Everything's fine. I'm, you know, I diagnosed in the end of April, May. And so everything's fine. And I feel good. I don't have any treatments now and I had some then, but right now I don't have any schedule. But anyway, bottom line, I'm sitting there in August and I'm evaluating myself and I'm all of a sudden evaluating time and, you know, people who saw, you know, my reasons why. I don't want to be redundant and go through all of this, but, you know, in our business, you never think of time because it's just commitment. You work all the time. You work tremendous hours. And, you know, I just, you know, this time became real important to me, quality time.
Yeah.
And so I made that decision and, you know, I feel great about it. I had to get a plan. Some said, don't ever retire without a plan. Well, I didn't have a plan. I had no idea, and so I'm, you know, there's a lot, I'm glad I'm going to be associated with the university and I'll assist the university in any way I can. And, but I, you know, I had a good run, you know, I coached 25 years, you know, and went out on my own, you know, and that's very, very unusual. And I think we had profound impact on a lot of kids' lives, which is real important to me. And, you know, I'll keep myself busy. I have to do something of significance. So I just can't get up and, you know, golf every day and go work out and have coffee.
Is your wife thrilled that you're not going to the office every day, or is she ready for you to have office hours already?
That's a million-dollar question right there. It ebbs and flows. It goes a little bit one way, the other way, and then the market goes back. It's like the stock market a little bit, you know?
Yep.
No, I you know, she owns her own magazine. She does a publisher, and she's great. One thing I've tried to do is I've tried to maintain some degree of consistency. I handle every day and get things done that I want to get done, have goals, and, it's just where I am. Just have things for sure the next day that I want to do and get done and accomplish, whether it's, read 4 chapters in a book I'm reading or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And, but right now, she's still sane and I'm still sane. So that's pretty good.
All right. Just 3 more for you, Coach. First of all, how much, have you talked to Barry in the last month and a half, or are you kind of just trying to give him his space to kind of feel his way?
Well, I always give him his space, maybe because that's him. I'm a big Barry Odom fan. I think everybody knows this. And I also know Mac, didn't know Barry very well. And Mac was going to do what was right for University of Missouri. And it was people say, well, you hired a Mizzou guy. Well, that wasn't what it was. They hired the right guy. And I think Mac and Hall's interviewing, they kept coming back to Barry Odom saying, this guy's really good. So, obviously it's very difficult. It's a remarkably challenging job. I mean, you're on call every minute of the day. But he'll do a great job. And my role is, I'll assist him in any way I can, he texts me occasionally, but he's been so focused, working so hard. It's always a problem-solving business. You're always going to have problems. Sometimes you have more than others. And he certainly has had his first share, being here 2 months. But, I think he'll do a great job. But we have a very good friendship. But there's no question that I will handle this in the right way. I will be in the extreme backup role. If he needs me, I'm there. I'm really super excited for him.
Along the lines of handling those problems, obviously you had a lot of time with Matty Mauk over the last 3 years. Just kind of your emotions or thoughts over the last week, and now obviously that Matty is no longer a part of this program.
Well, first of all, I can't be a spokesman for the program.
Right.
Matty's, you always feel bad for a player that has had difficulties. Your wish is that that you learn from it, you grow, you move on, and you turn this negative into a positive. And regardless of what kind of things kids get into, at the end of the day, you want them, like anybody, they're like your kids. You want them to get better, and be successful and have productive lives. And that's certainly what I hope for, Manny.
Last thing for you, Coach. I think I know the answer to this question, but do you spend any time, or have you, thinking about down the road what your legacy at the University of Missouri is?
No.
I thought that was the answer.
I don't do that. I don't know. People ask me, about the university and, contributions. My thing is I just distinctly remember when I got here that in the press conference, and I said my job is to hopefully build a program that's respected in the league we're at the time, the Big 12, and nationally. And I think at the end of the day, I think we were, and I think we made a lot of progress. And now I want Barry to take it to a whole different level and win more games than I did. And hopefully he can do that.
All right. Well, Gary, I appreciate your time. I know you got stuff to do. I'm sure Mac has a list of people that you're supposed to call this week. So,
thanks, Gabe. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one. Gary Pinkel, former head coach at the University of Missouri. And as far as I know, folks, it's the first time I've spoken to Gary since he retired. Maybe the first time he's done a public interview, other than obviously the stuff on the SEC Network and all that, which isn't exactly an interview. So certainly appreciate Coach doing that. Very timely with Matty Mauk's dismissal today. Obviously, listen, that wasn't going to be question number one. It was a question certainly that I needed to ask Gary because this has been set up for about a week now. So it was a total coincidence that he just happened to be on a couple hours after that happened. I'm sure Gary has been in this business long enough to understand that was a question that had to be asked. It wasn't going to be the first one. It wasn't the focus. This wasn't the time to, grill him about the events of November and all that. This was a look back on Gary Pinkel's career at Missouri and a transformative career at the University of Missouri. I don't think there is any question about that. Not all the days, like we talked about, were good, but a lot more good than bad. And certainly appreciate Coach Pinkel taking the time after 25 years as a head coach to spend a little bit of time with us and look back on it. Hope you guys kind of enjoyed the look back from his perspective. And I think we all got a chance over the last 2-3 months to get a little more insight into Gary Pinkel. We saw, you know, he said, hey, no matter what people think, I'm a loving guy off the field. I think we all got more of a taste of Gary Pinkel's personality in the last 3 months than we did maybe in the last 15 years. And hopefully you got a little taste of that here. Obviously, the other news of the day, Matty Mauk dismissed from the football program. Barry Odom's statement, you can read the story, the statement on Power Mizzou. He said, you know, it didn't have anything to do with the video that surfaced this week. Matty had certain expectations to live up to, and he hadn't, basically, is what Odom said. You know, I don't know. If that video doesn't come out, is Matty Mauk still here? Maybe, maybe not. My guess is yes, until at least after National Signing Day. I don't think it would have happened this week. But we may never know that. I have been told at some point, certainly, that we will get a chance to talk to Barry about that situation. He was on the road recruiting. He came back specifically to meet with Matty this morning. He is probably, by the time you're hearing this, already back on the road recruiting. So we're not going to get the chance to talk to him today. Hopefully we will down the road on that. National Signing Day now 6 days away. We will be covering all of that news leading up to and all day long on Power Mizzou. Next Thursday, probably take one more Thursday off because we always take 24 to 48 hours after National Signing Day to just kind of recover, maybe this year a little bit more than most. But we'll certainly be back on the podcast regularly. Wanted to start it for 2016 with one that I thought was you all would probably enjoy. So hopefully you did. Thanks once again to Gary Pinkel for taking the time, and we will talk to you in a couple weeks.